everybody, and welcome to Long Time Ago Radio, a conversational podcast about Star Wars and the official podcast of CanonTimeline.com. I'm one of your hosts, Joshua Mobley, and I'm joined by my two favorite fans in the galaxy, Alex Vargas and Rebecca June Lane. How are you both doing?
Excellent.
Doing good.
Sweet. All right, so there was a lot of news about the Han Solo movie this week.
Oof.
And instead of cannibalize our new canon episode, and you know, which is coming out July 3rd, instead of that pretty much being cannibalized by all the news we have to talk about, I figured we'd do a short kind of emergency episode. I want to try and keep this around 30 minutes. And I know that's hard for us because we love talking. It feels like an eternity since I've talked to you. But I want to go over everything that happened. And I don't, you know, I'm going to presume that that the people listening to this haven't heard a thing. So we're literally going to go over the events of the last few days. And then we are going to basically talk about our thoughts, our hopes, our dreams, our fears, everything. We're gonna spill it all out here.
I like it.
So we'll just break the news for anyone that literally didn't hear this. I don't know how you didn't hear this because it was all over the place. But Phil Lord and Christopher Miller have been fired from the Han Solo movie. They didn't leave. They were apparently fired.
Wow, I didn't hear that detail.
Yes. I think people have said they've been fired, and then I think, the corporate message was like, oh, we're going a different direction or whatever.
They're just no longer attached to the project.
Basically. Okay, so the official Star Wars website sort of statement about this was, Phil Lord and Christopher Miller are talented filmmakers who have assembled an incredible cast and crew, but it's become clear that we had a different creative vision for this film, and we've decided to part ways. A new director will be announced soon, said Kathleen Kennedy, president of Lucasfilm. Unfortunately, our vision and process weren't aligned with our partners on this project. We normally aren't fans of the phrase creative differences, but for once, this cliche is true. It's been a long day. I can't read that well. We are really proud of the amazing and world-class work of our cast and crew, said Phil Lord and Christopher Miller. So that is the news that came out. They didn't say why or what or anything. And then basically overnight, some updates had basically happened. And I guess what had been happening was that they had been clashing really, really hard with Lucasfilm, and specifically Lawrence Kasdan, who was the writer on it. He wrote the script.
And he also wrote
Empire, Jedi, and Force Awakens. So basically there was some clashing. I think what it ultimately comes down to, what everyone seems to agree on, is that the tone that Lord and Miller were going for may have been more comedic, because that's sort of their background. I mean, they worked on Lego Movie and 21 and 22 Jump Street. So, and also they're accustomed to writing their movies and directing their movies and having full creative control. And they basically come into an environment where, you know, Lucas has the ultimate say about everything. And then on top of that, they didn't write the movie. So it's sort of like they're trying to put their, you know, they're trying to make it funny. They're trying to put their vision or what they do, because they do comedy, you know, into it, and it's just not clicking, apparently. And so, right after this, like maybe hours after we had heard that they had been fired, there was a scoop from someone who writes for The Wrap, who I'm not even sure what that is, but there were some details about them possibly going to work on the Flash movie, and that they had met with DC Films during the production hiatus of Han Solo. So there's a statement here which I'll read. It says, directors Phil Lord and Chris Miller met with DC Films during the production hiatus of the Star Wars Han Solo spinoff, insiders exclusively told The Wrap. The duo met about the possibility of directing The Flash after Rick Famuyiwa. Oh man, I'm going to mispronounce this. Famuyiwa? I'm sorry. left the project over creative differences last year. According to multiple individuals familiar with the project, it was unclear whether they were already considering an exit from the Han Solo project. So then that night, there's already this conspiracy theory floating around that they were trying to get out because they were just not liking the environment. And then more updates, and I think this came the next morning, basically, after people had gotten to around to their sources in the production and stuff. By the way, strap in. There's still way more to cover. So much has happened in the last few days. So Variety basically got a hold of some of their sources close to the production, and then they wrote this, which I'll read to you. It says, Miller and Lord were stunned to find that they were not being granted freedom to run the production in the manner that they were accustomed to. They balked at Kennedy's tight control on the set. A person with knowledge of the production said that the chemistry between the directors and Kennedy was never right. Quote, it was a culture clash from day one. She didn't even like the way they folded their socks, which I don't think that's supposed to be literal, but.
Yeah, I don't like that.
The source said that while Lord and Miller were supposedly hired for their vision and distinctive brand of filmmaking, when it came to the Star Wars production, Kennedy did not approve of their shooting style and process of interacting with actors and crew. Quote, they weren't given the leeway to do what they had to do, the source said. The duo also clashed with Kasdan, who has been an integral creative part of several Star Wars movies, dating back to the 1980 The Empire Strikes Back. Like Kennedy, he questioned many of the pair's directing choices. Quote, Kathy and her team and Larry Kasdan have been doing it their way for a very long time. They know how the cheese is made, and that's how they want it made, said the source. It became a very polarizing set.
That's not good to hear.
Yeah, so, but this is what's interesting, because this whole thing I just read to you doesn't totally add up, because based on previous, you know, interviews and things that Rian Johnson has said, it sounds like Lucasfilm generally gives their creators a lot of freedom.
Right.
And also, I had actually, you know, because we were just talking about Lost Stars again before we hit record, but like I had watched an interview with the author of that book, and she had said they had asked her if Lucasfilm pretty much came up with the story or what they did, and she said no, she came up with the entire story, all the characters and everything. The only thing that Lucasfilm did was, after she had given them the first draft, was pointed out canon inconsistencies, like this ship would not have been here during this time or this or that. And then
I want that job.
Yeah, and basically then she just went back and changed it, and that's the book we have. So, and also Rian Johnson had tweeted recently, just last month, someone on Twitter had messaged him saying, you say that you were given a lot of freedom for The Last Jedi, building from The Force Awakens, but some of the story was already planned, yes? And he literally responded, nope. And then the guy responded saying, but how do you reconcile that with this? And there was some, you know, there was like a quote from some article, or is Kathleen Kennedy talking about how they said they were sort of planning it out or whatever. And then Rian Johnson came back and said, I'm sure they talked about where it might go early on, but when it came to me, there was no mapped out story presented beyond The Force Awakens. And another thing to remember is that Rian Johnson's not only the director of The Last Jedi, he also wrote it.
Wow.
So it sounds.
I had no idea he had that much creative control, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
I would take that as a grain of salt, though, because I did read an article recently where that interview with him, he felt like it kind of doesn't portray exactly what he meant. Whereas from what I've read, that there is a path of a storyline that they've created up to the end of the episode 9. It's what happens after episode 9 that hasn't been written.
Well, you said the important distinction here, and I think we just need to take a step back. Lots of news,
there's still more to go on, but this is a cool... We can pull over for a minute.
All right. Kind
of chew.
Yeah, so we're talking about people who have left a production and why they left, how they left, and is this something we should be concerned about, I guess, are the big questions.
Right.
And then how does this follow with the other stories we've heard of people coming in and making Star Wars films? For me, I was actually surprised at the concern that came out. A lot of people were like, oh, I'm so bummed that these guys aren't making this movie. And, you know, don't get me wrong. I saw Lego Movie in theaters twice. Like, I was so down with Lego Movie. But these guys, I mean, they don't have an incredibly extensive background of filmmaking. They only have, you know, 7 director credits. It's not... like they're huge, you know, experienced filmmakers. So I was kind of confused of the 21 Jump Street contingent who was super excited about, you know, a 21 Jump Street Star Wars film. So my concern about them leaving, I'm not that concerned. But I think we need to understand that there's a difference, and I think they spelled it out. We don't want to say creative differences. And I think there's something to that. Fit. I think fit might be the better term here,
mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they might have just not understood the language of Star Wars. And I understand people want to see the series grow in new directions and take chances. I feel that, too. I don't necessarily feel like it needs to go in a super light, funny direction. I honestly would want it to see it go in a dark direction, but people might feel differently about this. But you're talking about a character that's been established,
mm-hmm.
and it already exists, and there is a very clear, you know, plot for who this character is. We know who he is, and to push him in a different direction that we haven't seen before, I can see how that could rub writers and Kathleen Kennedy the wrong way. You know, I don't necessarily think there's anything to be worried about as much as it is just, well, you know, maybe it didn't fit, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's kind of my first impressions about it.
I share your feelings, and it's funny you bring up the, like, maybe this doesn't fit with the character, because it's literally the next part of the article I was about to read. But... I personally just want more Star Wars. Like, I don't, like, I know what I'm getting, and I'm kind of okay with that, you know? And it's like you brought up with the tone. Is it a good fit? Like, this character is already established. He's not a funny character.
Yeah.
Inherently, I think Han Solo is funny, but not because he's funny, if that makes sense.
He's quick. He's witty.
Yeah. He's funny because he's kind of an sorry, I'm going to have to bleep that. He's funny because he's mean and selfish and says kind of, he's kind of a jerk, you know?
Yep.
But then at the end of the day, he does the right thing, but he says, you know, yeah, he's quick and witty and stuff. And he, like, hits his head or something, you know, he's not inherently funny. It's just like the craziness of, like, him getting mad at Chewbacca, like, this one goes over here and that one goes over there, you know, like that.
Or yelling at C-3PO being C-3PO, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because I just watched I just watched Empire with the commentary, and I can't remember the director's name, the late director on that movie, but he was in the commentary talking about how he wanted it to be funny, but he didn't want it to be slapstick. So, like, he puts all these things, like Han Solo covering C-3PO's mouth, which wouldn't stop a speaker, but, like, we understand it as an audience, and we understand that that's funny, you know, even if it's not outwardly funny.
Irvin Kershner.
Yes. But yeah, I think that's a valid concern. And I also want Star Wars to go in new directions, but I mainly want it to go in new directions. Like, I would like a Star Wars heist movie. I would like, you know, a romance story that's actually good, you know, in Star Wars. Or I would like...
I mean, we also have to realize that we're testing the waters here. I mean...
That too.
We just came back from a long hiatus and a couple crappy films, and you know, Force Awakens and Rogue One were great films. And so I trust Kathleen Kennedy to be doing the right thing. And, you know, it's tough. I can imagine it's stressful for a director to come in and want to put their stamp on something. I mean, you look at the reports from Joss Whedon, his experience working with the Avengers, and how frustrating that was for him. I think with these properties, you know, it's not like a regular filmmaking scenario, you know. You know, you have to understand that you're working for something larger than your own vision. And I think that's why, even though these other guys don't have very extensive resumes either, Trevorrow, he did Jurassic World, so that's still in that kind of oeuvre of taking on a huge property. I mean, with Rogue One, you know, he had done, Gareth Edwards had done Godzilla, another huge property. So there's a little bit of background there, but... yeah, I mean, I trust these people who have been working in Star Wars for a while. I think as long as they don't leave, then we should be in good hands.
Yeah. Anyway, continuing on our journey, if you will, there was a Hollywood Reporter article about sort of the same thing, talking to sources like what went wrong. And in their Hollywood Reporter article, they wrote, the creative clash, according to one insider, also came down to the differences in understanding the character of Han Solo. Quote, people need to understand that Han Solo is not a comedic personality. He's sarcastic and selfish, said that source. The friction was felt almost immediately when the movie began shooting in February, sources say, but the directors always thought it could be worked through. Kennedy, the producer and head of Lucasfilm, decided to back her lifelong colleague who shaped much of Solo's character in Empire and Return of the Jedi, and who had a specific tone in mind for the new movie. The duo also didn't feel they had the support of producer Alison Schermer, who was acting as Lucasfilm's representative on the London set. So, again, there's this thing about tone and are they getting the character right? Going on. I'm gonna skip this one, but
just real quick, I wonder, yeah, why it took so long for these issues. Like, it takes a long time for these movies to get made, and there's a lot of prep work that goes into it too, but at some point I'm wondering if there was, as they're either doing reading to the script or something, where there were hesitations or they started questioning, you know, this is sounding or at least looking a little off.
Right.
Because the fact that they had to stop shoots and they're going to restart in a few weeks, like, they were in the midst of the movie. Like, they were in the movie. For them to stop, I mean, that's a big step for them to take. It's just, yeah. To me, I always just found that weird that this wasn't a decision that was made earlier. Although, at the same time, we don't know how early this decision was made. We just found out about it.
Well, you could look at it the other way, in terms of, well, they had given them faith and they had maybe thought that they could work through it. As a team, and they wanted to put trust in the directors they hired. But then once they saw the dailies coming back, and that takes a little while to get up the chain, they're like, nah, this isn't the tone we were hoping for.
For people who don't know, who are not savvy to the biz lingo, Becky, what is a daily?
Oh, daily is just, you know, the raw footage from what you shot on a given day. And, you know, in a situation like this, the dailies will probably be sent up the chain so that people can make sure that they're getting a good, you know, what they hope, you know, to be, you know, following the story and the tone of the series, because, you know, there's a lot of interested parties here. It's not just one film. This is the whole canon. So, you know, it's not just an executive producer watching these. You're going to have people from, you know, all parts of Lucasfilm and Disney checking these dailies out to make sure that they're hitting all the right check marks. And, you know, maybe just when they, you know, a couple people raise some red flags. So, I mean, I think you can definitely lament the idea that these are going to be films by committee, for sure. You're not going to have one person come in and say, this is mine, hands off, walk away. Though it is interesting that we've heard from Johnson what's his name?
Ryan Johnson.
Yeah, Johnson.
You got it.
Thanks. So, yeah, that he's had creative control over his project. But then again, like you said, he wrote his. So I think that takes a lot of the pressure off. He obviously had a script approval process, which is much more intensive. Right. So, yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate. I don't think it necessarily is reason for great concern. Maybe about this film. I mean, maybe. I think all of us are kind of hesitant about this film to begin with. It's a tricky subject matter to take a character that is so established that we know so well, put a new actor in there, give it a new director. I mean, I think we're lucky that we have a writer who shaped the character. And I think that's the person who should really be steering the ship. Right.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping Kasdan would take over as the director since he wrote it. But I think there are rules against that. It's only allowed if it's on a temporary basis and not for, like, I don't remember where. I had heard or read somewhere that Kasdan probably wouldn't be able to take over because of some, you know, guild rules or something. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I've always been kind of excited about this movie, and honestly, I've heard people too say, like, well, I like Han Solo because I don't know anything about him. It's like, well, if you read Legends, you knew quite a lot about him, you know.
Oh, here's a good question, because you've said this before, new canon. Is there any new canon besides the Star Wars comics that take place after New Hope, correct? Is there anything else that fills out his story? Because I know you said they're not going to double up.
You mean before?
Yeah, so we're whatever this would be covering in the film.
So, no, not currently. He's in Bloodlines, and I'm sure he's in something else, but he is, I don't think, there hasn't been much, like, done beforehand for A New Hope, honestly. Most of the new canon stuff has been between, you know, in the original trilogy. They're just now kind of starting to branch out of their comfort zone, at least in the comics and in the books. But
so we don't know what this film was about.
We have no clue.
No.
We know that Lando's in it.
Woo-hoo!
We know that Emilia Clarke is in it. And we know it's a movie about Han Solo.
Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson's also in it.
Yeah, great cast.
That's so weird, but that's gonna. I'm happy he's in a Star Wars movie.
Yeah. So it's I'm excited about it. I get a little annoyed when people get a little too defensive of the character, like, you know, they shouldn't touch this character because God forbid they write a bad book with that character and it somehow ruins it. You know, I don't know.
Well, I think all of us here on the Long Time Ago Radio are more Star Wars. We love Star Wars. So
I am like that, but I do have to admit that I did have some hesitation when I found out that they were going to do a Han Solo. Like I am not the biggest fan of them doing spin-off movies on a single character. Just because it is a little worrisome where you have a character established, you don't necessarily. I don't think you always have to know everybody's backstory. From the point that we met Han Solo on, that's what we need to know about Han Solo. His character was developed. This isn't that, and then you see the whole Han shot first ish controversy, and just them changing things and slowly trying to develop the character more than what you already know worries me a bit. Like when you read in the comics. I'm not sure if Becky, you're on this part, but the Han Solo wife.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I got
Han Solo.
So when that popped up in the comic books, I mean, people were freaking out. This isn't that. I mean, it ended up being okay, but it's still, to me, it worries me. Like, I personally don't think we need a Boba Fett film, too.
So that's the thing that I think is interesting that you said there. It ended up being okay.
Yes.
I think that we need to all relax a little bit and prequels aside, they seem to have their heads screwed on properly, and I think more than anything I'm glad that people are stepping in and saying this is not our character. To me, that's great.
Yeah,
you know, rather than
that's exactly what I want.
Yep. Like, rather than being like, yeah, who cares? Let's just go in a crazy new direction because these directors come in and they have a fun idea. No, I understand that's frustrating for filmmakers and it might be upsetting for fans of those filmmakers, but Star Wars, the canon, the characters, the story that already exists, that's what we're paying reverence to. That is the ultimate goal. and everyone's personal artistic vision comes secondary to that. And, you know, that's just the way that you're going to get a better cohesive universe at the end.
I'm with you, because I, being a big, big fan of new canon, I like that everything feels cohesive.
Mm-hmm.
And that it feels like this happened, this is right, you know? Like, I don't want it to get all, like, weird and muddied. And also, I told someone I work with, like, it's one thing to have your own vision, but at some point, like, if someone asks you to make chocolate chip cookies, you can kind of put your own flair on chocolate chip cookies, but if you take the chocolate chips out, it's not a chocolate chip cookie anymore.
I like that.
You know
analogy.
What I mean? I'm like, you can add cinnamon or, like, other things to it and give it your own sort of spin, but, like, the minute you take chocolate chips out, it's not a chocolate chip cookie. It's something else. It's like, the minute you do whatever they were doing to this movie, apparently, they just were not making a Star Wars movie, you know? And I don't want 22 Jump Street in space. I want a Star Wars movie.
Let's be clear. We all want 22 Jump Street in space, but just not Star Wars 22 Jump Street.
Maybe finally I would watch one of those, but
I'm just waiting for that 22 Jump Street Men in Black crossover they were talking about for so long.
Wait, is that an actual thing?
Yeah, that is an actual thing.
Yeah,
but
I don't think it's actually happening, but I would have watched it. I would have watched it,
absolutely. That sounds ridiculous.
I do love Men in Black.
Right? Yes. But real quick, just to go back to that, I think this whole issue with the new directors is part of what made me not necessarily want a single character movie. It just worries me so much. I'm sure it's going to turn out fine. I'm sure I'm going to enjoy it. I mean, the fact that they took the steps necessary to keep the vision what it's supposed to be, you know, makes me feel better. I think I just need to actually see the movie to feel at ease. Right now it's just so early for me to be able to say, oh yeah, let's get these movies. Right now it's just kind of let me wait and see. I'm sure I'm gonna love it, but I have to wait and see.
It's funny too that, like, so many people I know totally forgot Last Jedi was even coming out after, like, when they heard about this. They just kept thinking of, like, you know, they're like, oh, Han Solo, everything's ruined. It's like,
I'm already planning on my ticket purchases.
Right. I know, it's crazy.
We got to talk about the newest news with this.
Yeah, we gotta start kind of wrapping up, because we're getting it as we go. But basically, there were some names floating around. I'm not gonna go over all the names that were pitched, but it ended up being Ron Howard is now going to step in for the final 3 weeks. Well, I guess the rest of the movie in general. For the rest of the movie in general, he's going to finish it. So I guess the plan is that for the final 3 weeks, Ron Howard will direct. And then they already have reshoots scheduled, because that's just what movies do these days. Correct me if I'm wrong, Becky, but I've heard that that's a thing now.
For a movie like this, yes.
Yeah.
When you have millions and billions of dollars, yes.
Yeah. Okay. I had figured it was like common practice.
Well, when regular people are submitting budgets to a studio to no, it's not. But when you're trying to make a film that you think's going to make hundreds of millions of dollars, yeah, you could spare a couple more days. Yeah. Yes.
Kind of like a week or two, yeah.
Yeah.
So they've had reshoots planned the whole time, like ahead of time. So I guess the idea is they're going to do the 3 weeks, then they're going to go on hiatus while Ron Howard and the editors and everyone sit down and go over all the footage and create a rough cut of the movie and see what they can fix, in quotes, you know.
So much exciting about this for me. I am just, obviously a lot of the film's been done, but to have someone of the caliber of Ron Howard, a filmmaker who's been working in the business for years and years. I mean, you just look at all the other directors' IMDb pages. I mean, J.J. Abrams aside, you know, all the other guys literally have 7 directorial credits. He has 42. He's a real filmmaker. And he's also the only person who has been directed by George Lucas in American Graffiti. So mm-hmm. he's kind of in the family, which is fun. All the Arrested Development memes have been just a joy to be a part of. And I'm excited. I'm excited that he was excited. I think this is another good sign for the production up to this point. I don't think someone of his caliber and his schedule would sign on to this unless he saw potential in what has already been put in the can. So I'm thrilled.
Yeah. So there was an update or another update on I'm getting a thank God for Star Wars Newsnet. Seriously though, because they take everything from everywhere and they just put it in this nice, like, I find it here, you know, find all of it. Apparently from what they're saying, and I don't know where they're sourcing this from, the first person to actually raise their concerns about the way the character was being played was Alden Ehrenreich.
Who is
playing Han Solo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, darn. Wow, that's...
So, I'm going to read this quick thing, but it says, for anyone who's worried that the actor playing a young Han Solo isn't taking his role seriously, rest easy. Ehrenreich is one of the most important people involved with the project, who voiced his concerns about the project at a crucial moment in the movie's development, which means that he's absolutely committed to bringing his A-game to the role. Ehrenreich's performance has been described to us as being an interesting new take on Han that stands out on its own while still honoring the essentials of the character, and that it's a worthy interpretation of the iconic scoundrel. And this is why Ehrenreich had concerns with the production as filming progressed. He started to worry that Lord and Miller's screwball comedy angle was starting to interfere with what made the character of Han, or what the character of Han Solo is really about. Even if this was a younger, more reckless take on the character than the one we met in the cantina on Tatooine, one source described it as being oddly comparable to Jim Carrey's performance in Ace Ventura at times, which sounds awful.
That's scary.
Yeah, Ehrenreich let his concerns be known to one of the producers, who then told Kennedy about it, which led to her decision to look over the existing footage, which is also a normal part of the production process. But this is where things get interesting, and then it goes on, and I haven't really looked into.
What's the source on this?
This is from Star Wars Newsnet, and I don't really know where they're getting. I guess it's Hollywood Reporter, actually. They're pulling all of this information from Hollywood Reporter. And then I guess there's another podcast out there, the Weekly Planet podcast or something. And they had broke some scoop about something. I haven't read enough, but the headline says the film was good in pieces, but frenzied when assembled. So
that might have been what it was, is not the dailies, yeah. But maybe there were some rough assemblies that started going around. Maybe it was after concerns had been raised by producers or actors, and they started to try and piece it together, and the tones just didn't match. I mean, that makes sense to me. If you have this overarching kind of deep Star Wars feel, and then you're throwing in these screwball comedy moments, you know, you're going to start to get a Jar Jar effect, perhaps.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, that's really interesting. You know, fit. You know, sometimes things just don't fit. You think someone might add a little bit of their flair to the existing universe, and... You know, it's just, you never know how it's all going to work until everyone's on set, so.
Well, and then this article is huge. I wish we had time to delve into all this, but we don't. We're running low on time, but I just read a little bit more, and they had looked over, you know, the footage, and I guess they have been pretty rebellious, and there's a tweet on the 9th of May from Philip Lord, and all it says is, "What's so great about being reasonable?"
Ooh.
Which is a little damning in and of itself, but
he's subtweeting someone there.
Yeah. And there's some stuff about the movie has a good chance of being delayed, and you know, apparently Lucasfilm still has a plan, which I wouldn't doubt. I would be amazed if they... Okay, maybe I wouldn't be amazed. I think it would be interesting if they actually delayed it, because the entire point of it getting it out earlier was so that they could get back on track after delaying Last Jedi a couple months. We were supposed to have already seen Last Jedi last month, in fact.
Well, wasn't that the plan for The Force Awakens as well? We had a May release, and then that got changed to December as well.
Is that true?
Pretty sure. I mean,
they had always released in May, so I imagine maybe that was the original plan. Yeah. But again, I mean, I know maybe some listeners are also video game fans. Delays, switch ups, changes, they don't necessarily mean that the final product is going to be bad. It's just not the case. It's concerning for sure. But at the very least, it means people are paying attention, and that's more than a lot of productions can say. So that's kind of my final take on it.
Yeah. I think I'm not super worried. I know there's so many people that are very, very worried about this movie. If anything, I think hearing all of this, hearing all these leaks, like reading what people on the inside have to say, actually made me a little more like excited about the movie in a weird way, in a weird messed up way. I don't know.
It made me think about it more, for sure. I'd kind of dismissed it because I didn't really want it, but now
I was
like...
still thinking about Last Jedi primarily. I was like, oh yeah, Han Solo, that'll happen when it happens. And now I'm just like, oh yeah, that's the one that's on my periphery right now. Like I haven't even thought of Last Jedi much this week, especially like we launched our Last Jedi episode and then immediately the conversation changed the next day, you know. So I don't know. If anyone has any closing thoughts, I think we've summed up a lot here, and there's so much more. I mean, if people want to go read like all this stuff that I didn't read to them, there's so much. Like I feel like I still need to go digging more.
A lot of it's gossip. I mean, it is.
It's
clearly getting a lot of clicks, so everyone's giving their hot take on what somebody's agent told somebody. So take all of it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, for sure. But still, go read it. I'm going to go read stuff. Anyway, is everybody good?
Yeah.
Alex, any final... are you going to see the movie? Yeah. Everyone going to see the movie still?
Oh, of course.
He's going to see it.
I'm going to sit on my computer waiting for tickets to go on sale and buy them 6 seconds afterwards.
Yeah.
My work already knows whenever a Star Wars movie is coming out, I take 2 days off.
Two?
I take the day of the release so I can see it that night, and then the next day I watch it again.
Wow. Yeah,
I did that for...
That's how you do it,
that's
dude.
That's how you get there, you watch it, you know, first showing, you know, you're all hyped up, you miss things.
Absolutely.
You're going to miss things. Second time, you know what's going to happen, so you start looking for little clues, you start realizing, oh, this character's here, this character's there, and things start to connect more.
Just a quick question, since we're on it. Do you go 3D the first time around?
I don't do 3D for Star Wars movies.
I did 3D for, I did 3D for Force Awakens the first and second time, and then the third time I didn't, and then for Rogue One, I only saw it in the theater once, and I didn't go 3D, and I don't really like 3D, I don't even remember why I did 3D for Force Awakens.
It's not worth it to me. Also,
well,
I wear glasses, so.
Oh, well, that's, yeah, that hampers it, but I think for Force Awakens, I did natural first, as I will always do. And then if there is a 3D option, I'll do it if there's a 3D IMAX. I think for Force Awakens, I wanted to because I knew that first Millennium Falcon sequence was actually shot in IMAX. Mm-hmm. And it was cool.
It is super awesome.
In IMAX. So, but yeah, I'm usually a natural, you know, first time around, just so there's no distractions.
Yeah. Oh, man. We'll have to do a whole episode on, like, people... weird people in you've watched Star
How
Wars.
How do you experience the galaxy far, far away?
Oh my god,
the
rant I could go off on right now about my first time watching Rogue One. It's unreal. But anyway,
I had a guy start crying next to me.
I didn't know you were in the theater with me.
Yep.
Hey-o.
I mean, you reached over to hold my hand. I thought that was a little you know, but I got you. I got you. I know that feeling.
Yeah. Fun fact, I did cry during and then after Rogue One.
The last scene, I teared up.
Oh, I wasn't even crying at that. I was crying because the X-Wing showed up.
Oh, no, when a Gold Leader shows up. Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that retro footage. No, I was ugly crying for, like, the entire last act because it's like, everyone's going to die.
Yeah.
Also, well, General Syndulla. That got me super giddy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it was the X-Wings, and it was just because, like, I felt this... I've had nostalgic feelings, but I've never felt the utter heartbreaking wave of nostalgia I felt, like, watching those X-Wings fight, and I just started crying.
Oh, I love
And then
that.
I had to drive home alone, because we had taken separate cars and stuff, and I just, like, almost pulled over, because I was crying so hard in my car.
That's adorable.
And I was like, I can't believe, like, they did it. Yeah, anyway, let's wrap up this episode about Han Solo. I hope everyone enjoyed this. Please give us feedback on if you enjoyed these kind of emergency sort of episodes. If I don't know if anything
emergency like this sounds will so again. Dire.
Oh, it's just like it's what I was calling it, just because I was like, oh, we need to do one that just goes up, you know, like quick
Star Wars emergency.
Star Wars. All right, so come back for July 3rd, where we have our new canon episode. We'll tell you all about where to get started and what you should read and watch and all that good stuff. And we'll see you guys later. Bye.
Bye.
Adios.